Okay, Rabbi Sai. Among the many life experiences of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, it's very interesting that in the process of the various conquests of Napoleon, it's very interesting that he would occasionally seek advice from various rabbonim, various rabbis. What were the advice? What are his chances on the battlefield? In other words, is it kedai to go into war in this particular war? Am I going to be victorious in this particular battle? Is it kedai to enter? What are my chances of success? And one of the very interesting mises mentioned that how he once met Asher Reb Chaim Volozhin, and just a gavurcha, we should mention that something interesting, which is Napoleon was actually, he died in 1821, actually at the age of 51. Lahav Lahav, Reb Chaim Volozhin also was nifter in 1821. Actually just a month apart. Napoleon was in May and Reb Chaim Volozhin was in June. Anyway, so the mice is told that it was a particular evening that the soldiers of the French army had to arrive in Volozhin. And they prepared to set up a camp. So the town, the mice of Volozhin, happened to be an important location, but it was not fortified. It was easy to conquer. It's no big deal. And the majority of the inhabitants at that time, they ran away because they were afraid of the consequences of war. So the rest of the people who stayed, they locked themselves up in their houses. And when Napoleon's messengers, came, basically, entered the town, so they found that all the houses were dark. And the only place that they saw that was some light, every place else was deserted. Happened to be the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash Volozhin had light. No, had light over there, so an officer approaches the yeshiva. He approaches the yeshiva and he opens the main door and he enters. So at the end of the Beis Medrash, so sat an old man. Actually, by today's standards, he's not so old. Just approaching 70. And he held the candle in his hand. That's how he was learning. And he saw they had an open book in front of him. He didn't know who it was. The officer did not know who it was. Happened to be Reb Chaim Volozhin, who pushed in times of distress. Torah, of course, was always what gave him happiness. The Dovra Melech says, "Lulei Torascha Shashuyoi Ozavadu Tibon." If not for the Torah, Poshet, he said, would be lost. So, in time of distress, which is the situation here, being attacked here by the French army, but nevertheless, he's in the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, he finds refuge. That's his happiness. He finds his joy. Lamaisi was so absorbed in his learning, Reb Chaim, that he didn't notice that an officer was approaching him. And finally, when the officer opened his mouth and he bellows out, he said, Reb Chaim, basically, he looks up, and the officer tried to speak to this particular gentleman, this old man that he saw in French. But he saw that he didn't understand what he was saying. So he changed to German. That's if he understood the language. So he said, "Yeah, I understand the language. So I'll try to answer the best I can." I said, "Good," he said. "Can you tell me where the rabbi lives?" He didn't know this was Reb Chaim. "Can you tell me where the rabbi lives?" "You know, the one called Chaim." So he said, "We heard very much about him, and that is that he knows hidden secrets and he can perform miracles." So Chaim says, "Chaim, the man that you're looking for," he says, "happens to be here in the Beis Medrash. But when you say that he performs miracles, I can assure you it's not true." So the officer understood that the man that he's speaking to happens to be Taker Reb Chaim, the one he was looking for, and immediately gets to the point. And he says, "The king wants to meet you," he says. "The king wants to meet you, so wait here, and they're going to bring him to you." Didn't take too long, so a few soldiers arrive in a dusty war carriage, and they take Reb Chaim to the glorious tent of where Napoleon was, which was in the center of the camp. And Napoleon was very happy to see Reb Chaim, Poshet, and they began relating to him what he heard from other Jews in the country about the hidden powers that Reb Chaim has, and his reputation being able to perform miracles and so on. Reb Chaim says, "No, it's not true." He says, "I'm a simple Jew." He says, "I simply strive to learn Torah. That's basically all I do, nothing more." So Napoleon said to him, "Okay, understand you don't wish to acknowledge," he says, "that you know how to perform miracles, but at least you acknowledge that you're a smart man, you're a wise man. So I want next to your advice." He says, "Tell me, what's your opinion about the future of this battle?" This was, by the way, in the process of the conquest of a large part of Russia. That was at that particular time. It says, what do you think about the future of this particular Muhammad that I started already? Will I have victory like in my previous battles? He says, or perhaps maybe a terrible tragedy might await me. So please tell me, be very frank, he says, speak openly without any fear, whatever you really believe. Chaim says, I'll answer you with a moshel. And he said to him that it was a prince. It's a classical moshel that Chaim Volozhin pointed out then at that time. He said it was a prince who was once traveling on the road with four mighty horses. He says, of the finest stock. And it turns out that when he arrived in the midst of a very thick forest, one of the horses slipped into dangerous quicksand. So as a result, that horse also pulled the other horses with him, and they all basically got stuck, and the wagon just turned over. There's no way how to get out of it. All the efforts of the prince and the officers managed to get out. Nothing helped. Couldn't get out. So as they were sitting and waiting, Pashut, with their hands just still just raised up, they didn't have any idea. There was nothing what they could do. So a few hours pass, and there's a farmer managed coming along the same road with a wagon drawn by three weak and sickly horses. And they too also began to sink in the quicksand. But the farmer just gave one whip to the horses, so all of a sudden they used all the strength, all the koich, and they were able to pull the wagon out of the quicksand. And the prince and his officers, the pasha, is amazed at the success of how the farmer managed to have his horses pull him out of the quicksand. So he asked a question. He said, listen, he says, the prince supported the farmer. I have four mighty horses, he says. I have four mighty horses, thoroughbred horses, he says. You have three sickly ones. Yours were able to get out of the quicksand. Mine are still here. How's it possible? How do you explain it? And the farmer says, I'll explain to you very simply. The Pshadid, he says, there's no secret, but it's quite understandable. You see, your horses are pure thoroughbreds. One is from here, one is from this country, one is from that country. You know, you pick the best from every country. So therefore, when you whip them, each one tries to go in a different direction. This one pulls this way, this one pulls this way, this one pulls this way. So Amelia, you're not unable to unite them for the common good. My simple bony horses, he says, my push at the fair are one family. You know what the three horses are? It's a mother and two sons. When one horse is in trouble, all three unite together to help the one that's in trouble. So they have an Agdus, he says, of all the three. Now, they're all three working for the same good. Oh, they're successful to pull out. That's what happens. So Chaim says, this is similar to the matter, he said, we're dealing with here now. You see, you, the great Napoleon, he says, is like the prince in the story. You have at your disposal, he says, a gigantic, well-trained army, but they're not all the same blood. In other words, the army is made up of troops, some are from Austria, some are from Prussia, some are from Spain, some are from Italy. Every faction wants to claim the victory to his own credit. Besides that, each battalion is happy when the other is defeated, the second show of the day. But they do. That succeeds. That's not the case, he says, with the Russian army that you're fighting against. Although it happened to be a poor army, not like yours, but it's made up of one nation fighting to keep its own land. Everyone feels the common danger, and they're completely united for the common good. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, there's no doubt about the success of the battle. The victory goes to the enemy. That's the predictive. And sure enough, this way it was. He suffered a great loss near Moscow. He was finally defeated at the river crossing some place called Regina. Almost all the soldiers were killed. Reb Chaim's prediction came true. This is a little bit of an insight here at Boisai of perception. And I believe it's not just perception also, Kavadeh, but Reb Chaim did not admit his koiches that he had a little bit, you know, the Chelik HaNister to understand that I could perform miracles. But Lamaisa, even though Pidech HaTev was able to explain it. So we're going to start here, Rabbi Isai, here in the Ruach Chaim in your edition. Daf Tes on top of the page, first line. Let's look at Daf Tes. And basically what Ruach Chaim is here trying to explain, which was the opening, the first page when we started at Ruach Chaim, which is simply to explain the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lom Chelik L'Olam Habo. And Reb Chaim here is trying to explain that there's something special to be noted in the Lashon of Kol Yisrael Yeshkum Chayek Lo'olam Haba. It doesn't say, as Digduk, common Digduk would demand, that we should say really the proper Lashon would be Kol Yisrael Yeshkum Chayek Be'olam Haba, in Olam Haba, right? Everybody has a portion in Olam Haba. But if you translate the words Kol Yisrael Yeshkum Chayek Le'olam Haba, let's translate it. Everybody has a Chayek to Olam Haba. Is that the way you speak? Just say Kol Yisrael Yeshkum Chayek Be'olam Haba, with a base, not with a lamed. So Chaim here goes on, here's the punchline where finally he explains it. And he says, Vezeo Mashikosef. He said, this is what is being explained in the Mishnah in Novus Peri Dalet. It says, Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah. Simple understanding is, of course, when a person does one mitzvah, that mitzvah, right, that mitzvah actually motivates the person to do another mitzvah. Once you do one mitzvah, the mitzvah is not in isolation. When you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah is gereris, it drags with it, so to speak, another mitzvah. And then another mitzvah, and another mitzvah. One mitzvah promotes and pushes you, and causes you, motivates you to do another mitzvah. Now, Reb Chaim has a very special way of explaining that. Mitzvah gereris mitzvah. And that's a bias based upon, if you might remember, that Reb Chaim basically put on a tremendous yisoid, an incredible thing. Reb Chaim says, when a person performs a mitzvah, it generates a tremendous aura of Kedusha that surrounds the person. But Chaim went even further than that. He started to say, not only we actually do the mitzvah, the mere thought, the moment that you have a machshava to do a mitzvah, all of a sudden, you are sort of, you receive an avalanche of Eiris of Kedusha. You're surrounded completely in the area of Kedusha. If you might remember, the Lashon Chaim says, the Kedusha that is generated merely by being connected to a mitzvah is so powerful that it's as if Yoshe beganeid mamish. It's like you're mamish in ganeid, you're not in this world. At the time when you're involved in an act of the mitzvah, said Reb Chaim, you are surrounded with such powerful Kedusha, it's as if you are in ganeid. So now he goes on. And the Mishnah says further, one thing, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, one mitzvah promotes another mitzvah. And then it says, sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. What is the meaning of the words, the schar of a mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. So Chaim points out to say, what does it mean the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah? Gizchar mitzvah, hiya mitzvah atzma noistim lebischoroi. When you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah itself brings tremendous kedusha. That mitzvah that you do, that mitzvah itself, the mitzvah that you've done creates a tremendous kedusha. And that is, what is this, what this char is a tremendous kedusha that is created. And what is it? That's the aura, that's the light of kedusha that surrounds you. As I mentioned, that means right away in the beginning of this segment, as we had the beginning of the Ruach Chaim, the Sefer Ruach Chaim. And here again he says, he's a mamish like in Gan Eden. Now, if a person at the time that he does a mitzvah like his Gan Eden, it's obvious that's easy to do the next mitzvah. The challenges of doing a mitzvah or not doing a mitzvah is when we're living in this earthly world. Because then we are confronted with all different types of situations. And being we live in a physical world, a mitzvah is a spiritual act. So then we might have challenges, we have yes to do it, not to do it, and so on and so forth. All the usual situations that we are confronted. But a person in Gan Eden, he has no challenges to do a mitzvah. Adrabe. The fact that he's in Gan Eden, all that much easier. When a person does one mitzvah, the first mitzvah that he does, so the schar is, he says that he gets the tremendous or hamakiv, gets the tremendous or of kedusha. He's liking Gan Eden, and the name of mitzvah gereres mitzvah. So it's poshit that as a result he's able to do another mitzvah. But the downside is that the opposite is also true. When a person does an avera, then he is surrounded by tremendous atmosphere of evil forces. As he says, it's not just doing an avera, but there's the whole atmosphere changes around him. So it's not just that the person did an act, a transgression, did an avera, but rather the whole situation around him is actually averadic, is an atmosphere of an avera. As he says, he is sort of attached now with evil ropes, as if so to speak. And if you're in an atmosphere of sin, so it's obvious the next sin comes easy. One aver brings the other. So it says Reb Chaim now, but okay. So being that when a person does a mitzvah, as we said, he creates an aura of Kedusha. And that aura of Kedusha, as he said, is like Gan Eden. That aura of Kedusha is Gan Eden. So Reb Chaim says, Valkein lo yom ha'atana, the Tana did not say, Kol Yisrael yeshlum chelik be'olam habo. It doesn't say that he has a chelik in olam habo, le'olam habo. Which means the following. Rav Chaim says, you know what Olam Haba is? It's not like we always thought. There's a place called Olam Haba, and after 120, if you're Zoyche, you're going to be put, you're going to have your Chelik in Olam Haba. There's no designated place for you, Olam Haba. You, with your mitzvahs, you create your Olam Haba. It's not that if you do a mitzvah, then you're worthy to go into a Olam Haba that's there. No. The Olam Haba that you're going to get is the Olam Haba that you yourself create through your mitzvahs. So according to the quality of your mitzvahs, according to the quality of Kedusha that you put into the mitzvahs, the more koyach and the more kavana, and the more quality that the mitzvah is, that's the quality of your Olam Haba. So it's called Yisrael Yeshlom Chelik Olam Haba, means to the Olam Haba that you create, not the Olam Haba. It's not you have a Chelik in a Olam Haba. The Olam Haba means to your Olam Haba. Every Yid Hazan Olam Haba, the Olam Haba that you created. So there's not such a thing, Olam Haba is an abstract place called Olam Haba, you know, you're going to go there. No, you're going to the Olam Haba that you have created. To the Olam Haba that you have created. Again, let's repeat the words. They have the Tana that say, "Kol Yisrael Yeshlom Chelik in Olam Haba, be Olam Haba." But rather, he says, "Vomar le Olam Haba." Why? Ki be Olam Haba had it said be Olam Haba with a base haloshin movement, it would mean that Olam Haba is something separate. There's a place called Olam Haba, and you go there. Right? Ki be Olam Haba haloshin movement. Ki hudover b'tnei atzmo, that Olam Haba is a separate entity, which is prepared for those that deserve to go there. That's the common understanding. It's a place called Olam Haba. If you deserve, you're going to go there. Umishi yiske b'mitzvah nois l'misham. That's not the case. It's not there's a designated place. It's not that there's a place that is Olam Haba for you. V'omar le Olam Haba shehu oiso ato Olam Haba. Because you're making it now. You are creating the Olam Haba. The Maisa Mitzvah. V'maisa yidei odom atzmoi. And that is the creation of your Maisa. Ki ha-mitzvah hu etzem aschar. The mitzvah creates your Gan Eden. The mitzvah creates your Olam Haba. The mitzvah creates your Olam Haba. For her or the or the tremendous spiritual light that is generated, who by Gan Eden mechay odom. You already have Gan Eden. While you're doing the mitzvah, you have Gan Eden first of all right away now. And also lovoy, because what happens after the mitzvah is done, then that Gan Eden, that Gan Eden experience leaves you. Now it is put away for you when the time comes. But that Olam Haba that you're going to have is the Olam Haba that you have created. Well, also that's going to be the schar. Okay, this concludes. You really, this tickle Ruach Chaim didn't even begin Pirkei Avos. It's just on the words of Kol Yisrael Yeshlom Chelik Olam Haba. So all these pages just explain. After that starts Perek Aleph. You know, in Mishnayos of Avos that begins later. All right. So we mentioned at the first year in the introduction that the difference between the Sefer Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Avos, but again, it's not confined to Pirkei Avos because the branches are all over the place, and Nefesh Chaim Ruach Chaim Loshen wrote himself. And Ruach Chaim are the drushes that Reb Chaim, that he gave every Shabbos, and a weekly Shabbos, and Talmidim who heard it, right, recorded it, and so forth. As a result, many times, the lashon of the Sefer Ruach Chaim sometimes is not very clear, because it all depends, you know, how it was written. And then we pointed out that some of the concepts in Ruach Chaim, that are not written clear, because he didn't write them exactly. You're going to find the Nefesh HaChaim is going to overlap. And the Nefesh HaChaim that he did write it, you're going to see very clearly what he means. So if someone learns Ruach Chaim, and you come across an area where the Lashon doesn't seem to express itself clear enough, it's very possible, you have to know where to look, in Nefesh HaChaim, we discussed it the same thing, you'll see that it's very, very clear. And so what we have here in Ruach Chaim, again, this situation that we're talking about, when a merson does a mitzvah, so all of a sudden, he becomes showered in the Shemayim. He creates this tremendous atmosphere of Kedusha, and it's like he's in Gan Eden. You'll see it more clearly. You'll see it now verbalized with the words of Reb Chaim. We see in the Nefesh HaChaim. Let's take a look here on the sheet. We'll take a look. So the first item is again repeating the words of the Ruach Chaim that was in the opening shir. Just three lines. Let's take a look at this from the Ruach Chaim. Kol Yisrael Yeshlom Chelik Olam Haba. So the words of Reb Chaim was then the Ruach Chaim, right? What was the opening words? Hine Yedua, said Reb Chaim, right? Hine Yedua, said Reb Chaim. Ki be'es yalal reyoyne yish. The moment that it's oylal adas, the moment that he thinks, he contemplates doing a mitzvah, even before he did it, right? That's where he had it. When it's oil on his machshavim, ish lasas mitzvah nase rishuma lamalo. Right away, there's a rishum in Shemayim. Before you even did the mitzvah, before you did anything, as soon as you have a kavona, it's oil al machshav that you want to do a mitzvah. Umis oirer all of oir makiv magdush, and right away you have generated, you're surrounded with tremendous spiritual light of kedusha, and the man is in the middle. The man is in the middle of that hekif of kedusha. The hula leizer and that atmosphere of kedusha will help them to complete the mitzvah. Because you know, many times people think about doing things, but they never are able to realize it. Things come in the middle. People have great plans, right? Grandioso plans, but they lav davke, right? Ever see it to fruition? Reb Chaim says, when it comes to a mitzvah, being just thinking about doing a mitzvah generated with kedusha, that atmosphere of kedusha already will help you that you should be able to see the end, to be able to be going to do the mitzvah, to finish the mitzvah, to complete the mitzvah. For hula leizer, that atmosphere of kedusha generated just by the machshav alone, that will be an ezer lesad, right? That will help him legoimro ki hu yoshe beganeid mamish. Okay, these are the words of Reb Chaim here in the Sefer Ruach Chaim. Okay, now let's take a look. We have it the second time, the Nefesh HaChaim. Okay, that's what now, as we said, now Nefesh HaChaim, what Reb Chaim wrote himself. Nefesh HaChaim, the Shar Aleph Perek Vov. And the Hagor. Now, actually, many times the Hagor which you have is actually the Hagoyis is printed on the daf, on the page of the Nefesh HaChaim. And the Hagoyis basically are from Reb Itzel of Elojin, that's the son of Reb Chaim Elojin. And he says the following, V'zeh shetiknu, nusach birchas ha-mitzvahs. You realize, what is the nusach when you make a bracha of the mitzvah? What's the nusach? Asher kidishonu b'mitzvoisov. We don't say Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvahs. He sanctified us. Very interesting lashon. Why did Chazal choose to use that particular lashon? Should have said, because Baruch commanded us to do the mitzvahs. Baruch Ata Hashem, okay, you commanded us to do this, you commanded us to do that. But we don't say that. We say later, Vitzivonu. But how does it begin? Asher kidishonu b'mitzvoisov. What does it mean, Asher kidishonu b'mitzvoisov? Or v'chein v'kidashtonu b'mitzvoisecho. Right? Again, same idea. We say v'kidashtonu, that you sanctified us with your mitzvahs. What does that mean? Ki me'eish she'olo al rayin hodom lasis mitzvah. That which you learn from Ruach Chaim, now we see it in Nefesh HaChaim. From the moment that a person's machshove, right, is connected, contemplating to do a mitzvah, take it nasir reshuma lamalo, b'mekor shorsho elyon, in the shorish up in Shemayim, in the root up in Shemayim, u'mamshich mishom alatzmoy or makif. And from there he's mamshich upon himself. He brings upon himself in or a spiritual light that surrounds him. U'kidusha al-yoyne, in a heavenly kidusha choyfefe solov, is mamish hovering over him. Mamish is surrounded by a heavenly kidusha, v'soyveh v'soysoy, and it surrounds him. So that's what Asher kidishonu b'mitzvoisov. The mitzvah, even before I did it, that's the kiddush. Even before I did it. But the fact that it's a mitzvah and I'm contemplating the mitzvah, the kidishonu takes place immediately. We might think normally, right, after I did the mitzvah, kiddushonu b'mitzvoisov. So what Chaim's kiddush is, the kiddushonu b'mitzvoisov is because of the mitzvah. Means, even though you didn't do it yet. But because you contemplate the mitzvah, that's the tremendous koach of the mitzvah. The koach of the mitzvah is that you become showered and you become enveloped, surrounded with a tremendous aura of heavenly kiddushin. And, because of Mefayrish, we find that the Postik says, in the Ayikro, the base, Yikrochof, it says, Iskadishtem v'yisim kedoshim. Now that seems to be a double lotion. Iskadishtem, you shall sanctify yourself, and you will be kedoshim. What's v'yiskadishtem v'yisim kedoshim? Well, so the Gemara tells us. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, Daflamates. What it means is, kol mekadosh atzmoy milmato, whoever sanctifies himself down here on this world, mekadshenoysim milmalo, right, so become sanctified min ha-shamayim. What does that mean? What it means is, in other words, when you start to do a mitzvah down here, how much kedusha can we alone do? How much can we generate? But Shemaim, as a result of our attempt, right? Our ishtadlus are doing a mitzvah down here that's called Mikachi Noisa Malamato, we do it down here. So Shemaim, literally, Shemaim Mekachinois and Mamala, they send in the Shemaim a tremendous aura of Kedusha. That's where? Because every mitzvah has a sheirus, has a reservoir of Kedusha. Every mitzvah has its own reservoir. That's why it says, Mishar Shal Elyon Shal Mitzvah. Yeah, we do a mitzvah down, mitzvah tzum, yeah? Take a mitzvah tzum. Mitzvah tzum. In Shemaim has a tremendous reservoir of Kedusha. When you're associated with mitzvah tzum, so the pipeline, which brings down the sheirus of Kedusha, from the sheirus, the Kedusha of mitzvah tzum comes down upon you. And so to every mitzvah, no matter what it is, any mitzvah that you do, every mitzvah has its own reservoir of Kedusha. When you're involved with that mitzvah, and as Reb Chaim tells us, just thinking about it, it's an amazing thing, just think about it. So the pipeline of that reservoir opens up and showers you with the Kedusha of that mitzvah. So if I have an idea, to attempt to do a mitzvah, being that right away I'm enveloped and surrounded with Kedusha, that Kedusha already, right, helps us. It's an aid to enable us to be able to complete the mitzvah, to overcome the challenges and any bumpy road on the way. B'zeh or makiv, he says, that or makiv that surrounds us, he says, well, the aid of the mitzvah is really a tremendous aid to be going with the mitzvah. Now, imagine, if merely contemplating doing a mitzvah generates a tremendous amount, realize again, Reb Chaim says it's like sitting in Gan Eden. So now imagine when you complete the mitzvah, how much more Kedusha now it becomes magnified. That Kedusha that you received by contemplating to do a mitzvah, so Reb Chaim by Yidei HaGmar, by being Goymer, by completing the mitzvah, and tremendously it lifts up. That's what the Gemara meant. Habol etayim mesayinoisoi. When a person seeks tahara mesayinoisoi, why? Because when you're seeking tahara, now the Shemaim they push it to shower you with kedusha, and that kedusha already helps you. When you're surrounded with kedusha, kedusha helps you to do kedusha. Kedusha enables you to be able to experience kedusha and to be able to succeed in your mitzvahs. Not only that, so now that you did a mitzvah, right, and you're surrounded with Kedusha, once you're in the atmosphere of Kedusha, that motivates to do another mitzvah as well. Gamoshaches v'gereres eliboy. That mitzvah that you've done doesn't end with that mitzvah. But the additional benefit that you have, because the Kedusha of the first mitzvah, that you are surrounded with, and you're like swallowed up in that. Reb Chaim said before in Ruach Chaim, Ho'odim betovach, the man is in the middle, in the center light. So you're like swallowed up in a cloud of Kedusha. Can you imagine? You're swallowed up actually in a cloud of Kedusha, and a mele, that is Moshech you and Guerreras, and it drags his Liboy, right? It drags his heart. It motivates his heart, L'sage Eloi Kama Mitzvahs, to try to worship, to try to earn, to collect many more mitzvahs. Achashu Yoshev Atu B'Gan Eden Mamish! Mamish, he says. Not like Gan Eden. Realize? You'll say, it's Doimit. No, not Doimit. Mamish, he says. It's unbelievable. It's Mamish in Gan Eden. Choyse B'Tzel Kamfe Agdusha. You are actually being covered and protected by the shade of the wings of Kedusha B'Seisar El Yoyin, you know, from the hidden sources above. Ein Mokoyim La'yetzer Hara Lishlet Boy. And when you are involved in Seisar, talking about doing a mitzvah properly, not you do a mitzvah and your mind is someplace else. But when you do a mitzvah, the coupling from the mitzvah. So he said, then Ein Mokoyim La'yetzer Hara Lishlet Boy, the Yetzer has no shlit over you. La'seisar, to try to persuade you, La'dichoy Meisek HaMitzvahs, and try to, like, pull you away to avoid doing mitzvahs. That's what it means. That Shomer mitzvah goes mitzvah. Because the kedusha, the aura of the first mitzvah, you're like Mam Shalik in Gan Eden. You're protected from the Yetzer Hara at that particular time. And the Mele, what's left is only to do mitzvahs. So how are you going to do mitzvahs? Look further, number three, Rabbi Shai. There's a sefer called Hagdomos Ushiorim. That was a Mechaber who made various interesting ha'oris on the Nefesh HaChaim. It's called Hagdomos Ushiorim. To take a look on the words of Reb Chaim, we have already Umukav Mavira de Gan Eden. The person becomes surrounded through the Kedushas HaMitzvah, becomes surrounded for the Avir of Gan Eden. So he brings down actually Ramchal. Ramchal basically was before Reb Chaim Elojin, right? Before Reb Chaim Elojin. Ramchal was in the early 1700s. So, cause of Mesilas Yeshayim Perchov Zayin. Ramchal says in Mesilas Yeshayim, listen to what he says. Ach HaKodosh, a holy man, Hadovik Tomet Belakov, a holy person who is connected always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hine nechshav loy, he is considered, listen, ki'ilu hu mishalech lifnei Hashem ba'asos ha'chaim. Asos ha'chaim is another word for olam haba, the land of the living. Mishalech lifnei Hashem ba'asos ha'chaim. The Ramchal says, a man who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a holy man, is like he's an olam haba while he's an olam hazeh. Same thing. The words again. In the next shavloi, this man is considered, right? Ki ilu hu mishalech lifnei Hashem ba'atzei sachayim, is considered as if he's walking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Ba'atzei sachayim in olam haba, oidenu poi be'olam hazeh. So you see, it's possible to experience Gan Eden mamish of this world. How? Be connected to mitzvahs. Be connected to mitzvahs. That's a tremendous aura of Kedusha. And no coincidence, this week's parsha has told us. So the parsha has told us, we know, Rashi brings when Yitzchak, right? When Yaakov, posing as Esau, comes close to Yitzchak and he smells Vayorach, es Reach Begodov, he smells the Reach of the Begodov, he was wearing Big Day Esau. Vayorach es Reach Begodov, so what was that to smell? So what does Rashi tell us? Malamed shenichneso imoy ruach gan Eden. Yaakov was connected to ruach gan Eden. What does that mean? She Yaakov avinu gam b'yoyisoy boilam hazeh. We're talking about this world. What kind of gan Eden? You want to talk about this world here? But that's Yaakov avinu. Yaakov avinu, even while he was in olam hazeh, hoy mesuvev ma'akdushi kemoy b'gan Eden. He was surrounded with kedusha as if being in Eden. That is the koyach of tzaddikim. That is the koyach of being connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so Yaakov, obviously, if Yisro was able, right? If he was able to smell a reach of Eden, means that because Yaakov had it. But Yisro, to be able to recognize it, Yisro also had to be Yisro, to recognize that Yaakov had it. But Yisro knew that Yaakov had it. Not everybody will smell the reach of Gan Eden. Or Mishu Zoch Venoki Ki Yisro Kavino, somebody who's so pure, somebody who's so pure and clean as Yisro Kavino, Yochel Hargish Ba'av Gan Eden. Because if we're not worthy on this world, we will not be zoiche to smell Gan Eden. But if we're worthy, so this is the Nekuda. Now, Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'al of Perek Yud Beis. Take a look. And this mamish here, you'll notice clearer what was said in Ruach HaChaim. And this now Nefesh HaChaim again, Sha'al of Perek Yud Beis. The previous Nefesh HaChaim was Sha'al of Perek Vov. This is now Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'al of Perek Yud Beis. The who commotion is Baal Amilo. As I explained above in Perek Vov, Shemesh Oil Al Toyer Machshev Esodom Lasses Mitzvah, from the moment. And the moment when the pure machshava of a person contemplates to a mitzvah, take if nasa rishum elamalo. Immediately there's a roshim. There's a roshim shemayim bishar shalon in the root of that mitzvah. Live noise, velintoya kama oilomis vekorkas oyoim. When a person does a mitzvah, you're not just doing a mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, basically he's building worlds. You're building spiritual worlds. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Chofetz Chaim brings that pasuk also in the Sefer Shemiras Haloshim, the Koich HaDibur. Chofetz Chaim brings that pasuk, in Shai, Ve'osim Dvorai B'picho, L'Nitoya Shemayim, to better implant heavens. A person creates all kinds of oil and soil yoinim. By the way, as Rabbi Chaim says in Nefesh HaChaim as well, when you do an Avera, you're destroying worlds. We would only know the remote control, the far-reaching effects, both on the good side when we do a mitzvah, and the opposite, a person really recalculate before you take the next step to decide, well, if it's worthwhile what you're doing, right? Being aware, both the positive and the negative, tremendous negative effects of a deed. So Me'ela, he says, Misoyer Umamsha Gamolo. So Me'ela, as a result of that mitzvah, becomes awakened upon himself, or Makiv Magdusha Al Yoina, a tremendous aura, he says, from the Kedusha Al Yoina, that the mitzvah has, the Hu HaMasayi L'Goimra, and that helps the person complete it. That Kedusha that he generated right beginning in the mitzvah, that helps him complete it. The Acha Goimra HaMitzvah, now what happens when you finish the mitzvah? HaKedusha V'Ho'or Mistalik L'Shoshoy. The Kedusha and the light goes back to the church, goes back to the reservoir. But that's the Schar Olam Habo. That's the Schar. The Kedusha that you created from the mitzvah, that's the Schar Shumayisa Yidei Odom Atzmoy. When the time comes that the neshama has to say goodbye to the goof, when the time comes when the neshama has to say goodbye to the goof, the neshama goes up to right to be able, to gain and to benefit, to be the beneficiary, right, of all the gewaldige schar in olam habo, will as be anafshoi to satisfy itself, the neshama goes up to Shemayim to gain and to reap the tremendous pleasure b'tzach sochus o'eiros in the purity of the spiritual light v'akoiches v'oilum v'sakdoishim j'netoisvu v'nisrabu v'maisa v'atoivim. So all of these things that were added through his maisa v'atoivim, that's his oilum habo when his neshama, the time comes. So there he says here clearly again, v'zeh shomer rabbi seinu d'chon l'brocha kol yisrael yeshom chelik le'oilum habo. But mentioned before in Ruach Haim, this is the overlapping in Nefesh HaChaim. Does not say Be'olam Haba, because Shemashmo, it would have said Be'olam Haba Hoya, would mean She'olam Haba Hu Muchen Meis Habriyin. One would think Olam Haba is ready from the time of creation. That's the Inyan V'Dov Alei Atzmoi. All you have to do is be worthy to go there. It's already there. If you give me worthy, Yitnu Lo B'Schor HaChelik, you'll have a chelik of the Olam Haba that's there. It's not true. Avoh Emes, we underlined it. Avoh Emes. She'olam Haba, it's not there. There, waiting for you. So my boy is what you created. So my boy, who maisa yidodam atzmoi, shehirchiv v'hoisiv v'hiskim. You have expanded, right, and you have perfected the chelik. According to the quality of mitzvah, you're perfecting your my boy. The more mitzvah you do, your my boy becomes wider, becomes expanded. The kachom adavi says, shekol yisrael yesh lohem l'chol echad. Every day the chelik to the oilam habo, which means according to what he created. Chelik ha-kedusha va-oiris, from the kedusha and the light. But tzachsoches, all the purity that you created, shehiskim, that you created, va-oisif, la-oilam habo me-maisa va-toyim. So that, Rabbi said, that comes to the situation. So in any case, Rabbi Chaim told us, schar mitzvah, mitzvah means, schar the mitzvah, right? When a person does a mitzvah, so the schar of the mitzvah means is that it's going to also help you do another mitzvah, because the kedusha that's generated by the mitzvah, that's going to help you do another mitzvah. And then, matter of fact, the schar of the mitzvah, again, that he said, is what? Is the tremendous kedusha that's generated by your mitzvah. So I want to show you a very interesting shot over here. Turn the sheet on the side, number 5. You'll see on the right side, sefer called Yeino Shel Torah. On the word Shishchar Mitzvah Mitzvah. And this a pshat which many say, here he brings down from the Dugma Magid. You'll see the kud of the pshat is Tzadikim, who experienced tremendous, because as Reb Chaim says, if you experience it in Gan Eden, so you ask yourself, well, when was the last time I did a mitzvah? I felt I was sitting in Gan Eden. No, Reb Chaim felt it. And Tzadikim, like Reb Chaim felt it, they understood. So if you really feel when you're doing a mitzvah, you're sitting in Gan Eden, that's supposed to be your reward, right? So the schar of the mitzvah is mitzvah. What? The mitzvah itself, the fact you're able to do a mitzvah is no greater schar. Because the mitzvah that you're doing in the kedusha that surrounds you, that's the biggest schar of shayach. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is a schar. Schar mitzvah, look, take a look. In other words, you don't have to look for any artificial schar. The schar of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Let's take a look. Odom hamakai mitzvahs. The person makai mitzvah because he expects schar, right? Hamislav aleim. He expects extra reward. That's not the madregas hashleim. There'll be all kinds of schar. There's Hashem. There'll be a lot of schar. But if a person does the mitzvah only because of the schar, that's not shleimus. Or isha sholem etzem masa mitzvah uschoroi. There's no greater simcha than be able to do a mitzvah. That's the greatest simcha. The etzem mitzvah, that's schar. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. So he gives a moshel. Gehim shlo kach Hamagid Medubne Moshe. Oda Mechadi said, Roz Yedidoi Doyeg. A man saw that a friend of his was worried. Bechoshish, he was troubled. Why was he troubled? Why was he? The reason a man was troubled is because he has a young child who doesn't want to eat. Something's wrong with him. He's not feeling well. He has no appetite. Shekhen Yaldo Yakotin Shaloisa Yedid. Right? Because the young child of that Yedid, Sir of Lecho. Right? Nothing hurts parents more, right? Michelle refuses to eat. Because how long can I be? Can't survive. How can I? So the Ovi Khoshash, and the father was very worried. Why the father of Michelle were very worried? She ibud teyovoin zeh, the loss of the appetite that the child has, the ibud of this teyovoin, shosho, the root of it has to be some sort of a machla. Right? Why doesn't he have an appetite? Child doesn't have an appetite? So the father very worried, who knows what kind of a machla? So the man thought, maybe I will able to do something to cheer up my friend, the father of the child. What's he going to do? So Bikish Hirish, he wanted to be Mechazik, his friend. Well, he said, to remove the danger. You know what he did? He went over to the child and said, you know what? If you eat, he says, if you eat this sandwich, you know what? I'll buy you a bike. The kid ate. Oh, tremendous. He goes to the father, look, the kid ate. The father says, let's take a look. Look, let's read it. So he went and he convinced the child. Notice, he told the child, force yourself to eat. In exchange of that, tremendous, right? Yeah, a lot of matonis. So the kid, listen, if you get a prize like that, so the kid is going to force himself to eat. The child ate not because he really has appetite. He ate because he was promised matonos. No, Lamaisa he ate, right? So that man very quickly went besimcha loav. Go tell the father. Go tell the hadoye. Go to the word father. Ubisa loy, and he brings them the besurah ki ayeled ochal esurachosa. He ate his meal. Our father still worried. Why? Because if a child only eats because he's getting a bite, that means he's not healthy. A child should be eating because he's hungry. If you do a mitzvah only because you're going to get a bite in Olam Haba, you're not healthy. That's the moshkel. You do a mitzvah because the tremendous your neshama is connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore you experience the peak of your joy is to do a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah because of schar, okay, you deserve schar, but that means you're eating not because you have an appetite, you're eating because you want to get that bike. Well, obviously it means that you're not healthy, you're not hungry. Comes to mitzvah also, you have to do a mitzvah because you're hungry to do a mitzvah. Your neshama is hungry to do a mitzvah. Neshama lost its appetite. I'm doing it because of schar. The person wants to do the mitzvah because of schar. No. Schar mitzvah should be the mitzvah itself. The schar mitzvah. So to complement these words, well, let's look at some beautiful words of Chassam Sofer, Paj Vayechi. If anybody has a bar mitzvah coming up, you have a shikol Torah right here from the shikol Chassam Sofer, Paj Vayechi. All right. That's the schar of this Chassam Sofer, okay? Vamarti, Chassam Sofer says in Paj Vayechi, what's the first mitzvah? By the way, in the Velt, you know, this always said, you know, the first mitzvah, what's the first mitzvah about Mr. Boy is Mechuyev? What does everybody say? Davi Marev, right? They say, why does Masechtas Brochus, which is the first mitzvah in Torah Shabbat Peh, the first Masechta starts with Krishma? Why, of all the time mitzvahs, do you begin? Because the very first mitzvah, you become Mechuyev, at Marev, you become by Mr. Marev time. So what's the mitzvah? Marev is not a Dereisa, Marev is a Rabbana. But the mitzvah Dereisa is the Krishma, right? Some sort of has a different opinion. Before you do anything, the first mitzvah, let's take a look, V'amarti shezehu mitzvah rishoyne, shemikayim hana miyad, b'knisa shnas yudalad, b'seisa kachodim, right? The night of the 14th, right? When the 13 years are over, hu sos v'soneach shezoich lekabel oil mitzvah Hashem lekov, v'asimche mitzvah deraiseh. That's what Samsaita says. The first mitzvah is before doing anything. The first mitzvah is the experience that you have the schus to become a mitzvah. You have now been inducted to have the schus to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The simcha. And simcha is a mitzvah sesed deraisa. That's the Torah digi mitzvah. So before you did anything, the mitzvah simcha, the moment, you know, the clock strikes and you become a mitzvah, says HaKadosh, become a mitzvah, the mitzvah is to have simcha that you makabal oil mitzvahs, right? When you come by mitzvah, you makabal oil mitzvahs. So the first second when you makabal oil mitzvahs, be makabal besimcha. Your chiyuv is to be makabal besimcha. But simcha again is mitzvahs of deraisa. So mitzvahs of deraisa, he says, la'ovdoi besimcha ubetuv leivov, meroiv koil. Now, so I'm sorry to ask the question. He says, how come the Torah didn't write beferish a bar mitzvah boy, right? Beferish a mitzvah. You have to have simcha when you become bar mitzvah. The Torah didn't write it though. The Torah didn't write that you have to have simcha when you become bar mitzvah. The Torah didn't write it. V'amarti shloin isparish b'toyre. The Torah did not write beferish to smoyach b'yemzeh. Just like it doesn't write you have to have simcha and shvuah that you accepted the Torah either. It's not mentioned beferish should be b'simcha when you makabel the Torah. Again. V'amarti shloin isparish b'toyre l'smoyach b'yemzeh. Actually, if you look in the Chumash, what's the Simcha and Shavuos? You know what Simcha and Shavuos is? Because it happens to be the time of harvesting. That's the Simcha. You're harvesting the first fruits. Really? Shouldn't the Torah say, no, the Simcha should be
The same Matan Torah should be the Simcha. It doesn't say that. El Tolah HaYom Tev HaSimcha, the Torah, right, links the Yom Tev of Shavuos and the Simcha. B'yam HaBikurim, it's the time for the first fruits. Uksir Chitim, harvesting. You know why? It's a very beautiful verse. Simcha should come naturally because you understand this chus of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I have to force you to be b'simcha, that's not b'simcha. A mitzvah means you have to be b'simcha. If I have to say it's a mitzvah to be b'simcha, so what kind of a simcha is this? If I have to tell you, you know what, you have to be b'simcha, right? And I'll give you a good muscle. Simcha is an emotion. Simcha is something that you feel. If you don't really feel it, if I tell you, you have to feel it, that itself detracts from the whole purpose of the Simcha. So the Sefer says, "Kol yitochen shiyitzava oisonu b'mitzaseser, shenitzchay v'shmoyach b'kabolos oil asavareinu." It's not shy to say that we should be happy when we have the oil mitzvahs. Why? Because if it's a mitzvah, then it's also an oil. It's another oil. In other words, you want to be mitzava me to be b'simcha when I'm a kabbal oil mitzvahs. But if Simcha itself is a mitzvah, that becomes another yoke. So it's another yoke to the mitzvahs. And can Simcha zu gufei oil hi al tzavareinu? Kadosh Baruch Hu lo tzivah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't command it. We understand on ourselves, there's no need to begin. You know, as I say, if there's a need, it doesn't help. You have to understand yourself. V'anachnu semechim atzmeinu shezachinu lekabel oil tzavareinu oleinu. Right? And, now, once, if we really gain our own, that was the kavanah, that's the Torah didn't make a simcha. Now, if we really understand that the greatest simcha that's shayach is to have the privilege to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to forget about the fact that Shavuos is a time of harvesting. Because that's these agashmin didn't become bottle. All these artificial simcha. The Torah wrote it happens to be a time of ksir chitim, it's a time of harvesting. The Torah didn't write that says the mitzvah of simcha should be kabbalah satorah, because that has to come naturally. And if you have it naturally, you're going to forget about ksir chitim anyway, he says. That's not going to stand in your way, because that's a secondary thing. If you really understand what the simcha is, simcha shal mitzvah, he said. As some sefer says, "Mitir da simcha zu," from the tir of the simcha that we are zoyche to be mekabel the Torah, nishkach simchas bikurei kitzir chitim. That simcha is oil mazeh. V'chol chafetzim lo yishvolonu. All the chefzei oil mazeh, all the abdul mazeh, do not amount, he says, to mitzvahs. V'chem b'yem b'mitzvah. The idea is b'mitzvah boy has to have the natural simcha. The first mitzvah when he becomes b'mitzvah is to have simcha. They has a schus to become inducted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. That should be a Simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't write a special Mitzvah because to be Mitzvah itself then becomes an oil. Once you say you have to do it, that itself becomes an oil. It becomes a burden now because then you have to. No. Simcha has to come naturally because you understand to do it. So we have here, I want to tell you something. Actually, I brought it down from a different sefer here, but the Sweet Age, let's give Moshe, Yankev Yechiel Weinberg, was a great goyim. It was a Talmud Slobotik as well, was a very big poisik, and the Shas Chu is Sweet Age, many Chalokim. And matter of fact, Moshe Sternbuch, there's Shuvis and Moshe Sternbuch Sefer back and forth with Rabbi Yankev Yechiel Weinberg, and he mentions them also in his other Sforim, Sefer Talmud Das. Also Rav Breish of Switzerland, famous Poisik, in the Shas Shuvis Chalkis Yankev. Also there's correspondence with Rabbi Yankev Yechiel Weinberg. A lot of history with him, very interesting person that he was. You know, the Velt Asakashe on Purim, there's a Mitzvah Shloach Monas. Why is there no bracha on that? It's a mitzvah that Rabbanan were misakim. Ner Chanukah is that Rabbanan to give mitzvah, and you make a bracha, l'adlik ner Chanukah. Mishloach Monas is a mitzvah that the Chom were misakim. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Monas? So he said the following. The tachlis of Shloach Monas is, why? Is to be marba ahava achva v'reus, with one yid, right? One yid is bringing matonas to this. Yid not bringing matonas back and forth to each other. The idea is to generate achdus, to generate unity. The idea is to promote ahava, neighborly ahava between neighbors, between Yidden. The idea is again to generate ahava. That's the idea. So the Sridhar says, I want you to imagine the following. A person has a pekel shalchmonis. He knocks on the door of his friend. He's ready to give it. Nah, I can't give it to you. I make a brocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, I have to give it to you. Is that going to promote Agdus? It defeats all purpose of Shomonis. By making a bracha, you're saying, Mitzibano, I'm giving it because I have to give it. You give him a Torah because you have to give it. Does that promote Agdus? The whole purpose of the mitzvah is. It's Adrabah. So you can't say Mitzibano because you want to show Agdus. Agdus is, Hava is, when you have a Hava, you're doing it because you want to do it. That's the natural aggression to do it. So the same idea with Simcha, by Simcha Shomitzah, not Mitzibano to have the Simcha, Mitzibano. You have to have the Havana, you have to understand. That we have here on the left side, look here. sefer called Oyra Zutoyra. It's another sefer. I mentioned from the Sri Yesh. But you can see right here, number 7, Oyra Zutoyra, he says, Madua ein mevarchel al mitzvah b'shalach monos, kishem she mevarchel atzai al mitzvah mikra Megillah. Megillah is one mitzvah on Purim. Shlachmanis is another misampurim. Why no bracha on Shlachmanis? Ve'yesh shoymrim shekim shoyinyan. Being that the union of Shlachmanis laharbois ahava vareus, right? Promote friendship. Im oimer, imagine if he says, as kedishono b'mitzvoisov nira kilu kofin lekach. He's supposed to do it. He's supposed to do it. What kind of ahava and reus is there? Ve'en kavanos shleim lahava. You don't have the shleim lahava. You don't have that. So I just want to conclude the next 2-3 minutes in the following rabbi said. And that's a very fascinating thing. I credit Pesach Kron for this particular situation I'm going to tell you now. This I'm relating it to what Reb Chaim said so many times. We had it, whether in the Ruach Chaim or we had in the Nefesh Chaim. He says, once you do the first mitzvah, the reason mitzvah gerer is mitzvah, because the first mitzvah generates so much kedusha that already pushes you a to be goyimer the mitzvah. It helps you to be goyimer, and not only that already is conducive and enables you to go ahead to the next mitzvah. Again, it motivates you to the next mitzvah. If you're sitting in Gan Eden, you're only motivated to do mitzvahs. That's all there is, really. So that's why mitzvah grabs mitzvah. The mitzvah itself has such a hashpah of a person that just enables them and pushes them to go and continue to do mitzvahs. In Greater Washington, Maryland, they're talking about this somewhere in the summer of year 2000. So there was a young boy, a volunteer in a nursing home, 16-year-old boy. His name was Mordechai. It's called Mordechai. And it was the Hebrew home for the aged over there. And one of the responsibilities of this tafkid, of this boy, this Mordechai, was to bring together the elderly people, you know, to come to Minyan. So when the time of Minyan was, so he would go to the various rooms to get the elderly people and have them wheeled into the shul, the dam over there. As always, some agree to go, some don't agree to go. But even those who decline, they're pleasant about it, not interested. Fine, not interested. So you already know those who come to Minyan and those who don't come to the Minyan. There was one particular person on the second floor. Who was quite nasty about it. When they asked him to come to Minyan, he was very nasty, and not only that, he even cursed out another volunteer, literally, when he was asked to join the Minyan. And the volunteer was supposed to take him aback. If you don't want to come, you don't come. But Mamish, literally, he cursed him. And so Mordechai undertook the challenge of trying maybe to speak to the person to find out what's bothering him. This angry gentleman, so to speak. So he finds him sitting in a wheelchair in the lounge there with the other residents of the home, and after he introduces himself, he says, I'm a volunteer here, and I make sure to try to get people to Minyan. And he says to him, if you don't want to come to Minyan, please let me understand. If you don't wish to join, I can respect that. You don't have to join the Minyan. He said, but why should you curse the volunteer? Why should you curse the volunteer? He's only here to help, and as a matter of fact, the volunteer is only doing his job. So why that type of reaction? What that response? So the guy says, you know what? He's elderly. He says, young man. He says, wheel me to my room. He says, and I'll tell you something. So we're in the room alone. So the old man tells Mamish a story. Mamish literally of pain and sadness and horror. He says, you know what? I came from a very prominent religious family in Poland. And he said that when he was 12 years old, he and his family were taken to a Nazi concentration camp. They were all killed except him and his father. So he's 12 years old. Him and his father, the only ones surviving, and they are there in the camp. So they're in the barracks over there. There happened to be a man who happened to smuggle in one chelik of tefillin, only tefillin shel roish, not the tefillin shel yad. Didn't have the hand tefillin, only the tefillin shel roish. Well, better than nothing. So Mamish, so they by rotation, each they would go, this would have a chance to do it, and the other one would have a chance. Of course, always the one standing guard to make sure that there's none of the guards are coming to see to do it. This is the way they would do it. Everybody tried to seize an opportunity to put on the one tefillin, at least the tefillin shel roish. They knew, of course, that they don't have the full mitzvah, but so be it. At least they have a chelik of the mitzvah. The love of the mitzvah, mamish that they had, compelled them to do whatever pshat, whatever they could do. So the man continued, but for my father it was enough. Just that tefillin shel roish was not enough for him. My bar mitzvah was coming up. Remember, he was 12. So the old man is saying, my bar mitzvah was coming up. My father wanted that at least on the day my bar mitzvah, I wear a complete set of tefillin, at least on that day, once. He heard that in one of the barracks down the road, a man had been killed, and that man had a complete pair of tefillin. On the morning of my bar mitzvah, the old man says, my father, at great risk, he went early to that particular place to get the tefillin. And I was waiting at the window with trepidation to see that he comes back safely. In the distance, I could see him rushing to get back. As he came closer, I could see that he was carrying something cupped in his hands. As he came closer to our place, to our barrack, all of a sudden, he says, a Nazi stepped out from behind a tree and shot, and he killed him in front of my eyes. When the Nazi left, I ran out. I took the pouch of film that lay on the ground next to my father, and I managed to hide it. And the old man looks at piercing eyes at Mordechai and says, how can anyone pray to a God who would kill a boy's father right in front of him? I can't. And the man pointed the dresser against the wall and said, open up the top drawer. In the drawer, Mordechai sees an old black tefillin pouch, crusted chavis from many years of not being used. Bring me the pouch, the man ordered. Goes ahead, he brings them the pouch. He opens it and takes out an old pair of tefillin. This is what my father was carrying, he said, on that day, that fateful day. I keep it to show people what my father died for. These dirty black boxes and straps, they were the last things I got from my father. You can understand that Mordechai, hearing that, his mom is stunned. He had no words, and there's no words of nechama. There's no words of comfort to give. He understood the bitterness and the sadness of that person. He said, I'm sorry, Mordechai says to him. I didn't realize. And he resolved from that moment on that he's not going to come and ask him to come to Minyan again. When he came home, Mordechai, he couldn't eat nor sleep the entire evening, entire night. He returns home the next day. He turns back to the home, to the old age home the next day, but he avoids the old man's room. A few days later, as Mordechai was helping the men to come to the minyan, one man said, Avyotzah today. It was only 9 people. Avyotzah today. Mordechai already made his rounds. No one else is ready to come. There's one person he didn't ask. That was the old man who had the old pair of tefillin. And he figured, he says, listen, reluctantly, hesitantly, this man is your side. Maybe I'll try him one more time. He goes upstairs to the second floor. He knew the old man would scold him. He was ready for that. He had to make an effort, had to make a shtadlus. He knocks on the door, and he announced himself. See you again! He says, I'm sorry to trouble you, he said, but there's a man in shul who needs to say Kaddish today. We need you for a minyan. Would you mind coming just this one time? The old man looks up at Mordechai and he says to him, if I come this one time, you promise you're going to leave me alone? So he says, yes. I won't bother you again. And then Mordechai says, I don't know what made me do it. He could have killed me. I said to him, would you mind if I take your tefillin along? And the man said, one time. Took it. He comes to the minyan. And he said, make sure that I'm in the back of the room, he says, so I can be the first to leave. Kachave, wheel me downstairs, he says, and make sure that I'm back at shul. So Mordechai wheels him to the back of the shul, and Mordechai leaves. He had other things to do. So nothing, he wasn't there at the minyan. The old man was there. So he wheels him to the back of the shul, and he brings him back, and to the back. And then Mordechai says, by the way, before he left, he said, can I help you? Put on film. The man sticks out his hand, and Mordechai puts on the tefillin, and he leaves the shul. After davening, Mordechai returns. The shul was empty except for the old man. He's still there. He was still wearing the tefillin. And tears are running down his cheeks. And Mordechai says, should I get a doctor or a nurse? He didn't answer. Instead, he was caressing. He was caressing the tefillin with his right hand, and was repeating over and over, and he was saying, Tata, Tata, he said. It feels so right. And the old man looks up at Mordechai and he says, for the last half hour, I once again connected to my Tata. There was murder in front of my eyes, he said. I feel as though he came back to me. So every morning, Mordechai would go to the second floor and the old man would be waiting for him at the elevator. Be waiting for him holding the tefillin. Mordechai would wheel him into the shul, he'd sit in the back, wearing the tefillin, holding a sitter, absorbed in his thoughts. One morning, so Mordechai He saw the elevator on the second floor, but the man wasn't there. He hurried to the room. The bed was empty. Instinctively, he runs to the nurse's station over there, and he asked where the gentleman was, and they told him. He said he was being rushed to the hospital, he said. He was rushed to the hospital the previous afternoon, and late in the day, he had a stroke and he died. A few days later, Mordechai was given an award. He was given an award by the Jewish home for his work as a volunteer. After the ceremony, a woman comes over and thanks him for all he'd done for her. Mordechai did not recognize that woman at all. "Excuse me, do I know you?" He said, "I'm the daughter of the man you helped. He was my father, and you did so much for him. You made his last day so comfortable. Because you see, when he was in the hospital, he called me frantically and said, 'Please bring my tefillin.' He says, he wanted to daven one more time with them. I helped him put on the tefillin," she said, "in the hospital, and then he had a stroke. And he died. He died wearing the tefillin. This time, he was bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just on his hand." Okay, but... Okay, sorry.